Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tori, here with my co-host, Rhiannon. Y'all, today we are digging into what we think is coming in 2025 for the signage and branding industries. So we're just going to dig right in. Rhi, what are your top predictions for 2025?
First, Tori, can you believe that this is our last episode of 2024?
I know.
It's crazy. I cannot believe that this is the end of the year here, but yeah. Excited for what's to come in 2025.
Yeah.
First, obviously, there's been a trend towards this for a long time, but I think it's still increasing. It's still top of mind. The sustainability and green practices. From production to installation to maintenance, all areas, that's still definitely a hot topic in making sure that companies use the right forms of safety and what's good for the environment and things that will sustain long term. So that's definitely first that comes to mind.
Yeah, I agree. And we've got obviously a new president coming in January. I think we probably have a decent idea of where things are going to trend. But just in general, we know that practicing more sustainable methods for production, for installation, for service, all that stuff really benefits your business in the long run anyway. It might be a little bit more expensive, more of an investment on the front end, but in the long run, right, generally those practices are better for you, better for your company. And I think something I would maybe tag on to this is I think American made is a really big, I don't even want to call it a trend. I think it's just a kind of coming back to our roots as a country, right? And wanting to support American businesses, right? Wanting to make sure that we have a little bit of a more full cycle of production and service for products and industries. And when you're buying from American made sources and obviously employing Americans and doing all those good things, right? It really just helps the circle of life of the economy in the US. And so I think we're going to start to see companies more and more either internally motivated to seek out American made products and sourcing, but also they're going to have clients saying, hey, we want to support American made brands. How are you going to help me do that? So I see that trend too.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how things turn out with that because we are already hearing. Well, first of all, I want to back up and say that I think that in the past, sustainability, going green, all of these things were buzzwords and almost like marketing. We used it for marketing. Our company does this and our company does that. And now it's more of a, you should be doing it. So you need to prove how you're doing it. It's not just, oh yeah, we're green or we do this. It's definitely the proof in the pudding. Okay, exactly what footprints are you making to this specific sustainability or industry. And also, I agree with you. And we've already heard when we think of products and buying out, that's a huge thing. We went from COVID where products were very scarce and hard to get. I even heard in the facility industry, the turn times on HVAC units and just all sorts of different products were so hard. And it created a big issue for a long time. And the facility maintenance world and industry was in chaos for a little bit. Obviously, the rest of the world was too. But now it's the shift, like Tori said, where it's not necessarily the scarcity of products, but where are we sourcing those products? Mm-hmm. And will we see clients that are willing to pay potentially a little bit more for American-made products, or they're looking for those who are boosting our internal economy? It's really interesting to see because things like LEDs, power supplies, a lot of that is not made in America. So people are already talking about if tariffs go up and things along those for trade, are we going to have to be not necessarily having to switch because clients are forcing us, but also cost-wise, which obviously is the end goal for that is to make sure that our economy is thriving. So it's really going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah. And I think we're seeing it a lot in fashion, especially I think sometimes consumer trends, right? It's easiest to dig into it first when it's a little bit lower cost. But we know for a lot of businesses where there are high level buyers in the company, more and more are millennials and young Gen Xers who have more, who value some of those things more, right? The sustainability they value, or they might value American-made products more. So we're seeing higher trends of that in some of their B2C consuming decisions. You're going to start to see that crossover into those, we got to buy a new AC unit. Okay, we want something that's American-made. So we're seeing it on a small level over here. We're going to start to see it just grow across some of those larger high-cost buying groups.
And something to think about while we're making this big switch in with the presidential election, what we also need to think about is I've had some companies trying to almost, or clients, lock in prices. So those contracts, so are they 3-year contracts or are they 1-year, 2-year? So think about that in the new year as sometimes we're renewing contracts that we may not want to make that contract as long as we normally would in the past. Obviously, with this big transition, we don't know how things are going to shake out. And if prices increase drastically for certain areas, I know clients are trying to lock in prices and keep their costs down. Mm-hmm. It's just the ever rolling ball where it affects one person after another, the domino effect. Mm-hmm. And so just think about those things as you're creating new contact checks and doing things for the new year.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Absolutely. I think another place where we're going to start to see things trend in 2025 is just really the blending of the physical and digital signage. And so what I mean by that is we've got a lot of businesses have physical signage, right? You walk into a mall, you see all the signs above the storefronts. That's physical signage. A lot of places, especially in restaurants and sometimes in retail as well, you're starting to see more digital signage, right? Or sometimes even interactive digital signage. So you go to McDonald's, you want to order food and you don't want to talk to anyone, right? You can go up to one of their nice little windows inside, click around what you want, and that'll launch your order into the kitchen. I think what we're going to start to see more of is physical signage that has technology in it that then connects to your phone and will punch information over to your phone, right? So it's like a QR code, how you would just scan that with the camera on your phone. But in this case, you can use something called NFC tags. And to be honest, y'all, I don't know exactly how all the technology works. I am not like a tech person, but basically what happens is that it's like an RFID tag, but not. So in the same way that an RFID tag, when you go to the store and you forget to take the tag off your clothes, right? You walk past the monitors on either side of the door and the alarm goes off, right? Because you didn't take the tag off. That tag is not electronic itself, but it runs off of the energy or the power of those little, gosh, what are they even called? I don't know. Whatever those things are on either side of the door, the sensors.
Sensors, yeah.
Yeah, very technical language over here. But basically, so right, those things are sending out radio frequencies. They ping to each other, right? Sets the alarm off if it passes those sensors. So NFC tags are similar, but you can have them for one-way communication and two-way communication. So what you could do is put an NFC tag in a sign, right? Someone holds their phone up to that sign, and then they're getting pushed information onto their phone. So it's like a QR tag or a QR code in that way. But right, you can start to integrate technology like that into people's mobile devices. It's just going to share more information. You could share promotions, especially if you're in the retail or restaurant space. You could maybe even push augmented reality experiences, right? There's a ton of potential for stuff like this. So it gives you the durability and just the brand integrity of having that beautiful physical sign and not the difficulties of having to manage digital signage, right? It's definitely cheaper for you as a brand, right? Because you're just something's just pulling up right there on your phone. And that's much easier, much lower cost to maintain something online versus now I'm having to create this very specific content to go on my digital sign, right? So it's cheaper. It makes the
personal experience for the consumer as well.
Yes.
Which is interesting. I always think it's so crazy how I feel like I'm talking and all of a sudden what I was talking about pops up on my phone. It freaks me out at first, but now it's so strange because I know I'll scroll through like Facebook or something along those lines and what my husband was looking at or wanting is now on my phone. I know what his Christmas list is, but it's on the ads on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how you can customize so many different things and make that experience for the client. And I really think that's where we're going is, A, just like always, people want quick, easy access.
Yep.
They don't want to have to be searching for something. They don't want to have any difficulty, but they also want the experience. When you can find a really good combination of ease, but yet you're still getting the experience, as we've seen restaurants evolve into the experience space, even the fast casual and fast different. I went into Panera, just like you were saying, and punched in my order right then. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think I talked to anybody.
Yep.
And
yep.
Although it was very convenient, it's just interesting how things are evolving. But it truly is about that ease and the customer experience as they go. They want to have that fuzzy, warm feeling. And interesting also that we can do that with signage.
So cool, right?
That's not something the sign can interact with you. And that's me in our industry to think about that the sign can be more interactive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And possibilities are endless.
They really are. And these NFC tags, again, do the research yourself, look into them, especially if it's your in the signage space, you're looking to innovate. From my understanding of them, they are basically like kind of small tags that you just would attach probably on the interior of the signage and then have some, obviously you'd have to have some sort of indication on the exterior of the sign that people can learn, get more information. But it's a really easy and expensive way to, granted said, create that experience that's much more personalized. It feels custom. I remember going to the Houston Space Center. And it's not exactly the same, but it's similar where they have on their app, you can, as you're walking through the different exhibits and things, you can hold your phone up and maybe it is the same technology, I don't know, but you can hold your phone up and then it will push you information about whatever the thing is that you're looking at. So you're looking at one of the Saturn rockets. Okay, it's going to give you all the history of the Saturn rockets, stuff like that. I've experienced it personally. It's really neat. So it'll be interesting to see how signage companies implement technology like that or how brands will be interested in doing that. It's really cool stuff.
Absolutely.
Really cool stuff. Yeah.
So what about AI? That's something that...
Yeah. Yeah.
I fully haven't come to grasp with that either. And all of the stuff that it can do and how quickly that is evolving. And how much we are using AI now on a regular basis without even really recognizing it. Something that I am finding is now when you type something in Google, it's that AI overview.
Yeah.
And it's broken down into almost anything. I had, my daughter had an injury and I was looking up AI or I was looking up Google. And normally when you Google something, all these different websites come up.
Right.
Now it's this AI overview of basically the quick explanation of whatever you typed in talking about. For example, my daughter was a hip injury. And then it's the treatment, what the symptoms are, it's just this nice little pretty picture. I'm like, this is convenient. Like, I don't have to dive into every single website. And if there's something specific, or for me, it's a word that I didn't recognize, a medical word, for example, in that one that I didn't recognize, I can Google that specifically or look into further, I guess, very specific, dive in specifically on what I want in that instead of just not really knowing where to search or what to do. So it helped with that. So it's really interesting to see the AI and realizing that we're using it on a regular basis. Another place people are using it is pictures in regards to headshots and things along those lines. It's amazing what it can do. And I've actually seen some people, and some of the websites are gimmicky and they're not as good as others, but there are some out there that it looks like you had a professional headshot that was just taken from a selfie. So what are we going to see in regards to headshots? Because that's something that Tori and I are also very involved in different committees and communities within our industry. And so they're always asking for headshots. I've had the same headshot for a long time. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should try this.
And I don't have to get all gussied up to go get your headshot done.
So I'm really talking about our industry specific. Do you know anything that you've heard, Tori?
Yeah, I think what I'll say first is that the whole evolution of AI, even in the last I guess maybe 2 years or so, is really a testament to the adaptability of young people. And it's made me realize that I think I'm not in that category quite anymore, because hear me out. So I teach dance. So I talk to my students about school, and I hear from other people who are teachers, and right. ChatGPT is to kids in school today what Google was to me, right? Yes. And I didn't graduate from college all that long ago, but the fact that they have now adapted so quickly and changed to talk to ChatGPT, that is their source of information, is amazing to me. Because Rhiannon, just like you, when I'm searching something on Google and I get the little AI overview, I'll look at it, but I'm still like suspicious of it, because I'm like, AI makes mistakes, and it does. So it can be helpful as a kind of a sweeping overview. I would still definitely encourage people to do their own research, but it is crazy to me to see how young people are just adapting so quickly to this, and how I am not.
How is that going to affect our jobs? And that's really also talking about trends for 2025.
Yeah.
What are jobs going to look like? Because there are talk about certain things where AI can eliminate a lot of different positions. And I do have to say that AI overview was correct for my daughter's injury.
Was it?
And
that's
what
great.
The treatment was, right down to basically the doctor was saying what was on the AI overview. So that affects, we're always looking at efficiencies. And so I know a lot of teams right now, a lot of companies are pairing up or hiring AI companies to almost come in and overview their company and say, okay, what efficiencies can we utilize with AI that we can take away off of our employees that AI can actually do? And looking internally, obviously, everybody wants to be up on the newest, latest trends. And especially with technology, if you fall behind, you can fall behind very quickly.
Yeah.
Luckily, obviously, the signage world, we'll always need signs. There'll always be some type of need for a sign. But how can my team be more efficient? What I can actually take away those mundane tasks that AI can actually handle for them and utilize their actual true characteristics, strengths to better suit our team. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to see AI a lot, right, just in the software that we're using. We're already seeing it in a lot of CMMS software. Rhi, I know your team uses a specific kind of CMMS software. And in a lot of these programs, they're using maybe not quite artificial intelligence, but they're using machine learning and other, maybe they're informed by large language models to better understand what are the processes of this business or this department, and then how can our platform provide more information for them, or how can we provide actionable insights? And most, if you're working with a quality software company, they're already going to be on top of this. They're already going to be integrating some of these things. And if they're really good, they're going to listen to you as the customer if you have ideas about how you want to innovate. Like, gosh, it would be so fantastic if my platform did XYZ, right? So if they're really worth their salt, they're going to start to do that. But I think in other ways, we're going to start to see AI really influence the maintenance side of the signage industry. I think as far as manufacturing of signage, for us at North American Signs, we are craftsmen at heart. So a lot of our signs we're using really up-to-date technology, but there's also, maybe this is just like the artist in me, but there's something to be said just for the craftsmanship that comes with people who are there putting their heart and soul into your brand. And so we'll use AI as appropriate to inform our processes and augment as we can. But there's quality there that you just can't, no robot could ever duplicate. But I think there are applications in maintenance, and we're going to get to maintenance in a little bit, but I do think that's where we're going to see AI inform the production of signage, project management, and maybe even design. There are some applications there. So talk to your AI experts, though. They're going to be the ones who can help you out. But I want to dig in.
Proposing signage and costing, looking at estimating, things along those lines where AI can grab so much data at one time that the human can't. And obviously, with our being around for over 90 years, we have a lot of data in our system. Yeah. We have a lot of juicy tidbits. So definitely, I think people are really, whereas in the past, we haven't been able to compile that much data and utilize that for future decision making. So I think we are going to see a lot of data-driven decision making to make sure that we are using those efficiencies all across the industry, all across, again, companies as well. I think they are going to bring AI in a lot for that. Something I was thinking of, even one of the trade shows that we go to, they're utilizing a different technology in regards to capturing different data points that they've never had access to. And with that technology that we haven't had up until now. And it's data that they've been looking for and wanting for so many years. But they've never been able to grasp it. You can even tell in a group, if you were doing, let's say, a presentation, there's cameras that can actually see and utilize people's expressions, their faces, how they basically, how responsive is that crowd to you on a significant level? Is this something we should do again? Is this something that we see value in? Or if you see a lot of the boredom or whatever, it's just interesting things that I never even thought about. I'm like, we're used to cameras, I guess, all the time now with security cameras and things along those lines. My daughter, we went to Target the other day and she looks up and she's like, what are all those black circles? And I'm like, they're cameras. Yeah. I didn't think anything of it. Yeah, we're used to it. But utilizing the camera, it's almost like in the past where we did they used it at grocery stores and put the milk all the way in the back because that's the path people have to go to. All the most common thing for people to get is milk and bread. So what path do they have to take to go get milk and bread? So it's on that level, but even a greater scale of going into emotions and feelings and utilizing that. So it's interesting there to see the different industries and shows and things like that, what they can do and utilize. So I'm really excited for that. But
yeah, it's who knows? It changes every day, right? Who knows?
Well, and but you said as you get older in the, I'm in my late 30s and I'm thinking like, I'm still young and everything. And my daughter today said, you're not a spring chicken anymore. And I was thinking about potentially getting my 7-year-old a video game. And somebody told me they'll probably figure it out before you. So they've always lived in this world of technology. So as these different generations come up, they have always lived in this technology, know nothing different.
Yeah.
It's ever evolving. And that's interesting to see from the backseat. They kind of say, back in my day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not old enough to say that, but sometimes maybe I feel like I am.
I know, absolutely. So what about the design trends?
I wanted to dig into this before we got into the maintenance side of things to finish up this episode. Design trends. I think this is often really informed by what's happening just in interior design in general. So I, along with skincare videos, as you've heard me talk about before on the podcast, I get pushed a lot of interior design things on my feed. And so what I'm seeing a lot of, and I think we'll see it play across just the signage world in general, is kind of a resurgence of vintage types of styles in a lot of ways. You're seeing this in fashion too, where kids are wearing stuff from the 80s and 90s. The low-rise jeans are, a thing and my eye is twitching. But right, you're seeing it in fashion. You're starting to see it more in design. Some of these people are buying homes that were like built in the 70s and have, what are those called? Conversation pits in their living rooms, right? Stuff like this. So we're seeing a lot of that. And I think we will start to see a hearkening back to the golden years, golden days. We've seen it for quite some time with the use of neon signage or faux neon signage in interior design, like a local bar right across the street from me has their cute little neon sign on the wall. So we've seen a lot of that. But even beyond that, you get some of these historical like wooden blade signs, right? You think of a vintage antique store or something, right? They've got this little sign that hangs. And it's cute and it blows in the breeze, right? I think we may start to see some of that coming back.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, I'm seeing it in interior design. I think we might see it across signage as well.
I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before too.
Yeah.
But a lot of restaurants, retail, depending on what it is, are having more interior, not always exterior, but a focus wall, because everybody got their selfies and everybody's got their cameras. Mm-hmm. That's free advertising, free marketing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are even doing TikToks or YouTubes, and they're going into all these stores. So it's not just your regular everyday channel letters that stick out anymore. They're having a lot of places where we, and I think we've, again, we've talked about where a client did the full wall of moss with a neon sign in the middle of it, where people that come in, the customers that come in, they can take a picture in front of that. And that's an awesome background. And then they tag them. So there's a lot of that, again, in going back to the experience, the customer experience. How else can we make a customer experience and feel, how do we want them to feel when they walk in? It's not just a transactional thing anymore. And I think that's exactly what we're going away from, is because people don't have to go into the stores anymore. People don't have to go into restaurants anymore. Mm-hmm. So the elevated experience is so important, because otherwise I'll just DoorDash it. And it doesn't matter if it's a fancy restaurant or what it is, I'll DoorDash it or I'll order it online. I don't have to go into Target. I don't have to go. But what is my appeal in going into Target? So I think we're really going to continue seeing these people collaborating. And there has been a lot of collabs, if you've noticed. Different brands, different stores. My daughter, for just the top of mind one that came, was Elf and Stanley. It but only sold at Target when they had the little lip gloss on the Stanley. These big experience. People were in Target lined up. That was gone like in the first day. And you can't get it unless you order it from eBay. And it's $100 for a lip gloss holder.
Right.
No, again, it's that experience. So it's that excitement. Right. So how can we recreate that buzz? How can we create, everybody wants to go to the, and take their picture in front of this wall and say that they've been there, because that's a cool experience.
Yeah, so. I think you're spot on there. And along with that, kind of a return to a maximalist aesthetic, I think goes hand in hand with this. How do we make this experience so fantastic, so eye-catching, that people can't help but stop and look at it or stop and take a picture? Minimalist is definitely still a thing in design. You're always going to see very clean lines, simple, neutral color palettes and stuff like that. But there are a lot of brands who are just having fun with their branding in general, and who are going to take that, of course, into any sort of brick and mortar setup that they have, right? Whether they have, again, with the beauty example, like a shelf at Sephora, or whether they have their very own brick and mortar building. I think we're really going to start to see that. I was in just a couple of weeks ago, there's a new eyeglass store near where I live. I think it's called Crewe, K-R-E-W-E. Really cute stuff. Little plug if you're looking for cute glasses. But they have this really, it's a beautiful space. It is, it's not maximalist necessarily, but it's definitely very eye-catching. They've got this kind of like organic shaped, sort of rounded amoeba counter in the middle. And it's, all the eyeglasses are just along the walls, but it's very Instagram worthy is how I would put it. Yeah. Yeah, and it really suits their brand, right? They're very trendy. They've got darling designs. And the salespeople were really friendly, asked us, did we want anything? I think they maybe even offered us champagne. I can't remember. But that was a beautiful experience. Versus we also went to Warby Parker. And Warby Parker's been around for forever. And again, nice store. Had a sort of a more of a like a bookish type of vibe going on in there. But it wasn't as beautiful as an experience because of the way that they had branded their space. It was just looked a little bit more worn, clearly wasn't as trendy as the first one. Just good things to think about. Maximalist is really just a great way to grab people's attention. And then the last thing I want to touch on for design trends would, I think, just be the use of organic materials, right? This goes hand in hand with what we touched on earlier. Those sustainable materials that we're talking about, right? Stone, wood, metal, natural materials, a lot less goes into their production and refinement versus creating a plastic or something like that. So it really, those are typically very durable materials. They speak something very specific about your brand, but we're seeing that trend in interior design. People are integrating these organic materials more and more. You're not going to see bright orange polyester shag carpet. Right. And thank God for that. But
there's something, Tori, that should be left in the past.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just saying.
Yes. An orange shag
low
carpet
rise,
is
pass. Shag carpet, pass.
Pass. Yes.
My personal preference.
No, I think I would never tell someone that their opinion is wrong, except that if you think that low rise jeans and orange shag carpet is cool, then respectfully, you're wrong.
Like, we're in the wrong decade. That's what I'm at. We're in the wrong century.
Yes.
But a lot of things feel comfortable circle. And with those design trends, it's a lot of times it's a nod to the past. Again, mm-hmm. with the faux neon, it's not full neon. And we're seeing different ways you can use it, different placements, different design in regards to the neon. So it's a nod to the past, but still, I guess the best way I can put it when I think of this is, how does your brand interact with the client?
Yeah.
Every day,
100%.
All day, in every facet. And that's obviously being in marketing, that's through digital. That's through in person. That's through the experience when they walk through the door. What does your brand say to the client? How is it interacting? It's not just there anymore. How is it interacting?
Yep. It's all about personalization. So last thing I want to touch on is just maintenance trends for 2025. We touched on AI a little bit earlier, and that I think really informs the predictive maintenance industry, right? So for a while, it was just maintenance. And when we said maintenance, what we meant was like reactive maintenance, right? Something breaks on your car, you got to go get it fixed. Then we were talking about preventative maintenance. How can we start to anticipate the needs a little bit better of whatever our assets are? Now we're talking about predictive maintenance, right? And so predictive maintenance takes preventative maintenance a step further. And how can we not just anticipate, but actually predict with a level of accuracy? Here's what's going to happen, right? I know that in 18 months, my sign is going to need a new face. And so we're going to predict that because we know that it's a Western facing sign and we get a ton of sunlight on the west side of our building, right? Stuff like that. This industry, predictive maintenance, was worth $4 billion in 2020. It's going to be worth $12 billion this year. Right. It's a huge industry. It's growing really rapidly. So that's something to just keep in mind. But Ree, what other maintenance trends do you see standing out for 2025?
Absolutely. So something that we are talking about constantly, and it's a little different in the signage industry, but a lot of the asset tagging, where they are putting codes on every one of their assets. Like, for example, restaurants or what HVAC, all different restaurant equipment, anything that is an asset, they're putting these tags on. So then every single time it needs to be fixed or serviced, that is tagged and that is recorded on exactly what is done on this machine or this day on this time, what parts are being used. So you can really, as them, look at that and say, okay, we've done this however many times and there's no use in trying to fix this anymore. It's time to replace. Or you can, again, that preventative where you can say, okay, hey, we know that this is going to be coming up on its life cycle, that we've had this there. And it's just, we talked about earlier in the podcast, the data that they have on each of those assets. That, and it's a little bit different with signage, just because signage is a different asset, I would say. It's not one of those that, but with signage, I agree with Tori. It's definitely the preventative maintenance. Things are evolving, changing, and we want to make sure that we can keep those signs in good condition as long as possible, and making sure that we are cleaning them, cleaning the awnings, inspecting those. We're doing a lot of surveys. And that's another thing that I think that we'll see is more interactive, better site surveys. We've seen where they use drones to go in and find the full footprint, whether they use them around the building, but more of an almost 3D model of, and that's for signage before and signage after. That's for also reactive in regards to natural disasters and to let to see what your building or your structure looks like after a hurricane, after a tornado. What do we need to do there? What condition is it in? So just having a lot more information at our fingertips to be able to turn things quickly before we go to site. For us, being able to know what power supplies are in what signs and having those, that information and that data that we have compiled, again, using the AI and saying, okay, we've been to this site 3 times, and having that information that we easily give to our client and say, okay, how would you like to move forward? This sign probably has another year left. Let's put it in your budget for 2026. Just looking at condition of LEDs, conditions of power supplies. And also, I think that we're also going to see just an increase in maintenance, because Tori said, I think that there's a maximalist movement.
Maximalist, yeah.
I think there's a lot of companies that are trying to utilize more signage, and which creates great attention to the brand. And I, of course, love the idea of having more signage, again, interior and exterior. I think in the past, it was only that exterior. And when you think of a sign, you just think of the sign on the building. You don't necessarily think of every little step that your client is touching along the way. We're redoing some locations for a brand refresh for one of our clients. And it's amazing. You think that you only have a couple signs interior, but the bathroom stalls are branded and things along those lines that there's a lot. And we've talked about it in the McDonald's aspect and their and what they do for their stores, but that those brands everywhere in top of mind. So I think really looking at both interior, exterior, thought process, very thought out. We have a lot of people that are redoing brands. Also, those refresh cohesiveness, I think, still across the country. So the maintenance industry isn't going anywhere. We still gotta fix a lot of stuff. So no matter what, we'll always have the reactive maintenance, but definitely a push on preventative maintenance. And clients want to know up front, what can you do up front for me to make my job easier down the road? I want to be able to tell my boss, okay, I have a 200 store footprint and I have this many locations that I'll probably need to turn by in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Those are brand refreshes. We have clients that have those scheduled. Each year, we're going to refresh these brands and these stores, and this is what we're going to do. So they want to know as much information as we can give them up front. And with the help of AI and a lot of the different technology, I think that we're just moving in that direction. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think the sheer volume, like you mentioned earlier, the sheer volume of data that artificial intelligence can collect and analyze and spit out suggestions is astounding, especially for those brands where you've got hundreds of sites, right? AI can take information about weather. It can collect information about, you've had cars through monument signs before, right? It can take information about traffic, electrical surges, things that have the potential to damage your sign, right? It can collect all that information. It can either do something that's predictive. Hey, we know a hurricane is coming. We're going to have our techs on standby to come fix your sign right away after that storm comes through, right? Or it can maybe say, hey, there was a power surge in your area, prompting someone to submit a work order. It can do all these things. It can compile information. It's been 3 years since we replaced your sign face. Is it time for that? Or you haven't had a cleaning in 9 months.
Maybe something it's time, that I think too is, like the cameras we talked about, our store's going to start having cameras that alert them to saying their sign's out. Because like what we see is an influx right now is our busy season, because as it got darker, the employees are actually on site. Well, a lot of times that doesn't happen throughout the majority of the year because they leave before the sign turns on. So is there going to be the technology like those cameras that they're noticing damage so we can be on site almost immediately instead of waiting for somebody to report it? Because there's also always, we get somebody drove by from one of our techs, we'll say in California, and they said, hey, I know you guys work on whatever brand it is. We drove by and saw this is out. Okay, but how many days, how long did that go? I see signs all across my city that I'm like, that has been out for so long. And I'm talking big name brands.
Yep.
Why is that not being fixed? Of course, I notice signs more than anybody else does.
But
still, is there technology that we're going to get those maintenance requests a lot quicker because brands will know right away? And whether it's sensors, triggers, and that's not necessarily just signage, but also all different types of assets and things along those lines, that it's almost that automatic repair request without any human interaction whatsoever.
Absolutely. And again, this all feeds back into exactly what you were saying earlier, Raina, and it's all about the experience, right? The moment that your signage is damaged because you didn't maintain it properly or whatever the case may be, right? That can really hurt your brand's image. And so investing in predictive maintenance, investing in that interactive signage, just consider these trends as you're moving into the next year, whether or not it might be something that you could look into or even invest in for your own company. Who knows? Who knows what's going to come in 2025? But that's what we think. That's what we think.
Okay, Tori, that was a lot to digest. Obviously, there was a lot of information in there. And nobody really knows what is going to happen in 2025 and beyond. Obviously, these are just things that we think. We're trying to predict the trends. So hopefully you found at least a few valuable insights to inform you for your business as we move on to this next year.
Absolutely. Y'all, thanks so much for joining us today. You can sign up for our monthly InAssign newsletter at the link in the description. That just provides more educational resources like what you get here on the podcast. You can also apply to be a guest on the show at the link below. And of course, let us know what trends you're predicting for 2025 in the comments. Until next time, keep innovating.